Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we have an interview scheduled, Mary Camacho, and we are going to be talking about the internet plan. Now, we have not been able to reach Mary. She could be on her, she could be stuck in a traffic jam for all I know. She's in Colorado. So we are just going to proceed, and as soon as she gets in touch with us, then we are going to be bringing her on the air. But I'll tell you what, it just gives you a whole perspective about dealing with social media and all kinds of things. It's called the Internet Plan. So we're going to be chatting about that as soon as we have her on the line. But in the interim, what I wanted to do, because this has evolved, I thought I would share with those of you who are listening some effective tips for effective job search strategies. In today's world, so much of what worked in the past when you were hunting for a job just doesn't seem to be applicable today. Now, don't get me wrong. You want to be dressed well. You want to be able to speak well. You want to be able to really know that you're going to be bringing something to the company. But what I found intriguing with information that a woman by the name of Charlotte Weeks put together is that they have found in the research recently that there are four categories that people will typically choose from when they're looking for a job. One, they apply to open positions. We all have done that. Two is working with recruiters. And three is sending your resume to companies that don't have advertised opening, and then also networking. Now, it's a good idea, according to Charlotte, to be able to use all of these. And I personally know of some individuals who have some specialized skills, and they're not interested in becoming entrepreneurs. They are interested in being able to have a job so that they have a consistent income. And one of the people I'm thinking of right at the moment is a woman that is of an entrepreneurial bend, but she doesn't have the economics. So what she wants to do is find a job that's going to allow her to use her skills, and at the same time, then she's going to be working on building a business for herself. So there is, again, research. It says when you go for open job positionings that are online, so frequently you have a lot of disappointment. And there's a gazillion people out there. Well, I know from personal experience that when I, before I went into the entrepreneurial venue many years ago, I would go out looking for a job, and I used job agencies. That's what I used. I didn't use recruiters in the professional sense of recruiting, as it is typically utilized by many people. But this was just, you'd go in and you would put in an application and they would keep their eyes and ears open because different employers would contact them, and then the employers always paid the cost for bringing someone on if that person worked out. So it was a very, it was a very good deal. And I can remember at one time when I was looking for a job, I was qualified in so many different mediums, especially when it came to communication and working with the public. But there weren't many jobs available for that kind of skill. And I ended up being hiring for an executive secretary positioning, which, believe me, that was not where I belonged, but that's beside the point. The thing is that I accepted the job, and when I was interviewed, my final interview for the job, I'll never forget the guy that interviewed me. His name was Scott. He said, "I have to tell you, Donna, you really do not fit the qualifications we've got, but in evaluating you and in interviewing you, you are the best person suitable, and we need someone to start work. Are you interested?" Well, I'd been out of work for about 6 months, and unemployment gets real old. So I said, "Sure." So I ended up going into a job positioning that was so far removed from anything that I had ever done, and it was just learning from the ground up. And I think many times things like that can happen. So when you use recruiters, they have found statistically 15 to 20% of candidates generally find jobs this way. And headhunters, that's another term for recruiters, they usually are hired by companies to find a perfect candidate. And one of the things that occurs with this is that if you are working with headhunters, you need to keep in touch with them. I know a woman who is very, very savvy in the computer industry. She's worked for a major company for a long time, and many times we have conversations. And I said, be sure you keep in touch with these headhunters and let them know all of the different things that you're learning. Because she ended up having to take a job that was really way, way below what she was qualified to do. But she had looked for a job for like a year and a half, and nothing had happened. Unemployment was shot, so she said, I've got to do something. She was offered a job, much less money than what she had done, but I said, don't worry about it. Keep interacting with headhunters, the ones that you've known, because the market had just really dried up. A lot of companies had gone out of business, and here is a woman that had skills internationally. Well, she kept in touch with headhunters, and out of the blue, she'd been working for this one company for 2 years. Out of the blue, she gets a call from a headhunter that she had kept in touch with, and they said, you know, we have an opportunity for an international job positioning. Would you be interested? Because we think you are so qualified for this, the company's really going to get excited about knowing you because you had multiple languages she could speak, and this is just an incredibly talented woman. And her biggest problem is that anybody that interviewed her for most things would say, you're too qualified. You're just too good at so many things. We just don't think you're going to stay with us, so they wouldn't hire her. Well, by getting the job she got and by working with a headhunter, she has ended up being very much in an environment that is allowing her to use the skills that she has had and has sort of put in a drawer for a while because there wasn't a place for her. And now that it's turned around. So you really want to be aware of this. Now, another suggestion that Charlotte Weeks says is you want to take a proactive passive method. You want to post a strong LinkedIn profile because recruiters often use LinkedIn. And they are really looking for certain people. So you want to have your profile really highly targeted, and you want to use keywords. And the networking effects, that you want to keep in touch with people. You want to let individuals know that you're looking for a job. Let me give you an example. We went to a social activity with a group of, oh my goodness, I think there were 50 or 60 people there, and this was a big, big celebration. Well, we're sitting at this table. All the people that were at the table were strangers. We end up chatting, my husband and I, with them, and we end up meeting this lovely young woman who has a tremendous background in customer service. Well, interestingly enough, she's looking for a job that will allow her to utilize her customer service skills in a particular area of industry. So a young man that I'd talked to just a few days before had said, and he is involved with a major company, and he said, one of the biggest problems I have is finding people that are customer service savvy. He said, we are desperately in need of that. And I said, okay, I'll just keep it open. Here I am sitting at a table with someone, and she's talking about what she does, how she just absolutely loves it, and she's looking for an environment where she can be in an inventive situation and be part of a team. And I said, give me your card. I know of a young man who may well be interested in interviewing you for a positioning. She said, great. So we connected, the two of them. Now we don't know how it's going to turn out, but the reality is you never know who is going to mention you. There is someone that we're aware of that is really skilled in office environments, has been a lead person, is overseeing finances and all kinds of things, And this is a woman that has a family, and she really wants to have a job. And we know all about her. We love what she does. We know she has integrity. And we've referred her to other people. And so you never know who's going to connect with who. So you must open your mouth. You need to really let people know that you're available and be clear. You don't need to give them a 45-minute dissertation on what you can do. You sort of have to have like a one-minute elevator line that you can give people. And then if they're interested, then you talk some more. But you will be amazed at how many people are really looking for good, responsible, capable people. And you just never know. You may be able to step into a position like I did that one time that enables you to learn a brand new set of skills. Don't put yourself in a box. If you're looking for work and you're really wanting to have something, be open for new opportunities. Don't slam doors just because you don't know certain things. You might find that your skills are applicable in arenas of opportunity that you never would have considered. Also, there is a method that Charlotte said she found was really the easiest. It's a recruiter distribution service. Now, what they do is they blast to hundreds or thousands of recruiters across the country. Now, you do apparently have to pay for this. And the key is finding a service that's really reputable, that is really capable of doing what they say they're capable of doing. So you want to make sure that if you sign up with a group like this, that they are going to distribute your resume to those businesses or industries that are going to use what you really have in the way of skills and ability. Also, those that are, if you have a certain income expectation, those that are going to be open to that as well. So it's really something. Sending resumes to companies that maybe they don't have an opening, it sounds strange, but if you choose your companies, just don't send it to everybody and anybody. Really look at the arena that you want to be in. Look at that and target those companies, because you never know. You may catch the eye of someone that says, wow, look at this person. Just like someone I know that happened with just day before yesterday. They called somebody that they knew and said, I know this individual. Would you be open to giving them consideration? I don't know if you have anything. And this person said, well, you know what? We've got a job position coming up in a little while. So this is, you just never know. And I don't want you to get discouraged. I want you to realize that you are significant, that maybe it means relocating to another area of country. That choice is yours. But don't cut yourself short. We live in a phenomenal time, and if you're a hardworking person, believe me, there are opportunities out there for you. So I want to thank Charlotte Weeks for those suggestions, because they're good ones, and they really give us perhaps some tools to work with that we didn't otherwise have. Well, this is Donna Siebel. I'm sorry we haven't been able to reach my guest today, Mary Camacho. I don't know what's happened, but what I wanted to do was just tell you we're moving right along. And I'm going to be sharing information with you. And tomorrow, my guest, we're going to be talking about wellness tomorrow. Tomorrow, my guest is going to be Lou Paradise. He's been on the road traveling, but we are going to be discussing all kinds of aspects with wellness and even some therapies that can be utilized to help people get through certain physical things. So I wanted to let you know about that. Well, I thought I would share a couple of things with you that are just, to me, they're sort of whimsical. But there are so many laws on the books that really should be dumped. Now, why in the world certain laws aren't dumped, I have no idea. But did you know that in Detroit that there is a law on the books that you are not permitted to fall asleep in your bathtub? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd like to know how that one's enforced, right? Because according to this law in Detroit, you could be arrested. Sleeping in bathtubs is illegal in the city. Uh-huh, right. Now, you try to enforce that. I guess the bathtub police would really be very, very busy. I was sent also some information on people that really do not have too much in the brain department. This just absolutely blew me away. And this is called the Idiot Awards for 2011. This, I just laughed like nobody's business. This is this one story, and these are all true stories. These are things that people do. You wonder if what's going through their minds. Anyway, let me share this one with you. Said early this year, some Boeing employees on the airfield decided to steal a life raft from one of the 747s. They were successful in getting it off of the plane and getting it home, and they took it for a float on the river. They noticed a Coast Guard helicopter coming towards them. Turned out that the chopper was homing in on the emergency locator beacon that was activated when the raft was inflated. Guess what happened to them? They were fired. So anyway, it's people really do things that makes you wonder. This one, it wasn't really funny, but it was a medical student that reported this. He said, currently doing a rotation in toxicology at the Poison Control Center, he said there was a woman who called in very upset because she caught her little daughter eating ants. Well, the person online said, well, my goodness, ants aren't going to hurt your little girl, and there'd be no need to bring the daughter into the hospital. Well, the mother calmed down, but at the end of the conversation, she happened to mention that she gave her daughter some ant poison to eat in order to kill the ants. And the student said, bring her in immediately. Makes you wonder sometimes. But this one I really love. This one I thought was priceless. A man wanting to rob a downtown Bank of America walked into a branch of B of A and wrote this: put all your money in the bag. Now, money was spelled M-U-N-Y. Now, while standing in line waiting to give his note to the teller, he began to worry that someone had seen him write the note and might call the police before he reached the teller's window. Now, this is what he did. He left the Bank of America, crossed the street, and went into Wells Fargo. Now, he waited a few minutes in line, handed this note, put all your M-U-N-Y in this bag, to the Wells Fargo teller. Now, she was sharp. When she read the note, she felt that because his spelling errors really were significant, that he wasn't the brightest light in the harbor. So she told him, she couldn't accept his stick-up note because it was written on a Bank of America deposit slip. And he'd either have to fill out a Wells Fargo deposit slip or go back to the Bank of America. Yep, you're getting it. The guy was very discouraged. His face sort of fell. He said, okay. He left Wells Fargo, and of course she notified security. He was arrested a few minutes later. He was waiting in line across the street at Bank of America. Oh, my goodness. Ah, yes. Don't you just love it? It's stories like these that make the day. This is Donna Siebel. I'm sorry we haven't been able to reach my guest yet. I don't know what's happened, but regardless, we are going to be moving on. So telephone lines are open if you would like to call in and chat with me, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. By the way, I want to take this opportunity to thank the staff at Bridgeport Place in University Place, Washington, because the class was an incredible success. We are already planning a Quantum Mind 3, and we're going to be talking about Chinese medicine, and this is all going to be occurring in April, so I'll be filling you in on that as things evolve. But we just had a fabulous time, and my appreciation to all of the people that turned out. The students were just fabulous, and we had an absolutely great time with feng shui and doing blindfold demonstrations, showing that all of the people in the room had intuitive ability. It was just incredible. So if you want to keep up with the classes that I'm doing, or if you're in an area where you would like for these classes to come perhaps to your environment, then just give me a call at my office, 253-582-5600. 404 because I travel and I teach just about anywhere. In fact, I'm going to be in Los Angeles. I'm going to be at the Conscious Life Expo on the 10th, the 11th, and 12th of February. That's right. That's just 2 weeks away, and I'm going to be appearing there, and I'll be speaking on Friday, the 10th, and I will be talking about mind dynamics. So I'll be doing demonstrations there, and I'll be in booth number 704, and that's the Conscious Life Expo, and that is at the LAX Hilton in Los Angeles. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. The telephone number to call in to is 627-6008. I want to share with you something that was just absolutely wonderful from my class, and it was when we did the blindfold experiment in the class. Every one of the students participated in this, and it's an exercise that I like to do because it shows how your entire physiology is utilized in reading information about people. And we all do this. We're all senders and receivers of information. We're like mini computers connected to the super-duper universal mind. And there were so many variants with people. They would see color, some of them. Some of them felt physiological situations. Others heard things or smelled things. There were just all of these variables. And with one of the students in the class, when she was focused on by the person that was blindfolded, and again, these students hadn't done anything like this before. This is what makes it so much fun. She described this individual, whom I know personally, as like a volcano, and that this person would just, she just saw this tremendous volcano, and here was all of this lava that was just pouring out, but it wasn't exploding. So the student didn't have any idea what exactly was going on here. And she was in a dilemma. She said, I just don't understand what I'm seeing. And one of the things that I like to teach in the class is that we have to learn the language of our own mind. Well, all of us that knew this particular individual just started laughing out loud because we knew exactly what this person was describing, because we knew the individual. She was not aware of the individual that she was doing this for. And the individual is one of, I'm going to do something, I do it now. And she is just a powerhouse. And she's not an explosive personality. She's just a wonderful person. She's got this wonderful demeanor. But she is a doer. She's one of these individuals that she needs to do it. Boom! She gets the action going. And she's always, always anxious to grow and expand and to do whatever she can do, whether it's business, personal, spiritual, emotional, doesn't make any difference. It's absolutely so much fun. So we had a lot of fun with that, and that's something I want to share with you, because if you've had dreams, if you have had what some people call visions, maybe you're wide awake, you're watching somebody, and all of a sudden a movie starts playing in your mind, or you have worked with cards or some kind of a tool to develop your own intuitive processes, you need to remember that your mind language is the way that you are going to be given information. And in giving this information, in getting this information, let me correct myself, in getting this information, there is a need to learn how to interpret what you receive. And that's a process. And so you have to practice with it. So it's always a joy for me to be in a class and to be able to have this interactive momentum with people, because it allows you to see that this isn't exclusive to anybody, to any culture. It belongs to everyone. Everybody's got it. Some people have it more strongly than others, but it really does work. Now, speaking of tools, there is the mind-brain connection that occurs with writing. And this was one of the things that I brought up in my class on Saturday. You hear a lot of people talking today about how children shouldn't have to learn how to write. And when people are making statements like this, they don't realize that every time the hand is employed in writing, especially with children, writing, drawing, doodling. It is creating a connection in the brain. And with children, as they learn to write, one, it's developing muscles and brain connections. Two, it helps with visualization. It helps with so many things. So writing, whether you're a child or whether you're an adult, has value. And if you yourself are having particular experiences, whether they might be out of body, it could have been a near-death experience, it could be emotional turmoil, whatever might be going on. When you journal, there is the mind-brain connection that is activated. When this is activated, it tells the conscious mind that it's okay to receive the information. And it's a discipline. It really does work. Now, a lot of people through the years have done a lot of investigation into handwriting. And what I wanted to share with you is that there are certain things that tell stories about people. Are you a doodler? Do you draw little things? I know I do. When I'm reviewing the books, because I get anywhere from 400 to 600 pieces of material, often I'm making notes or doodling little things in the margins because I want to be able to pull out certain information when I do the interviews. Well, I'm going to be sharing with you some of this, and I'm going to say that there's a Debbie Mandel, who is a woman that has done a lot of research relative to stress, that says when you are doing drawings or you're doodling, however you doodle, it actually is showing how your subconscious works and what is happening on a subconscious level, even though you are consciously aware of what you're doing. There's a deliberation. The subconscious actually has a significant influence on the choices we make, and we're often not aware of it unless we take time to develop that awareness. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to share with you some of that information. Again, I'm sorry, my guest, Mary, I do not know what happened to her, but we will try to find out more about what went on, and if she comes on the line, then we'll be bringing her to the airwaves here on the Donna Sebo Show. But again, right now, telephones are opened up at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for just a moment. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Going to share with you how your subconscious affects your doodling and what the meaning is behind it and more than that. We're going to be sharing with you today. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Tickets now on sale for the 2012 Conscious Life Expo, February 10th through the 13th at the LAX Hilton. Bringing together an eclectic community of speakers, panelists, exhibitors, artists, and visionaries for a four-day gathering of collective consciousness featuring over 150 workshops, special events, including TV British psychic Lisa Williams and visionary scientist and author Greg Braden, as well as the film festival, live music, Programa Latino, and three exhibit halls packed with healthy products and services. For ticket information, www.consciouslifeexpo.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Okay, if you want to give me a buzz today, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-627-6008. Give me a buzz. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, I will tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything you like. Now, what does your subconscious do when you're doodling? Well, I don't know about you. I can't say I'm a big doodler. I know a lot of people are. But sometimes when I'm reviewing material, I'm thinking through a problem. Maybe I'll do circles or I do little caricature faces, this type of thing. When Debbie Mandel put out the information, she said, if you are drawing faces or if you're drawing eyes, you're really into people. And I thought, that's cool, because I am into people. That's my business, is working with people, both as a counselor and as a speaker and as a talk show host. Now, this is what she said. She said, when you doodle the face or eyes, it suggests you're interested in the complexities of human nature. So it's just you like to communicate with people. You like to know what they're thinking. You like to know what they're feeling. Now, with this, because I started off the show about talking about how to find jobs, what does this tell you about who you are and what kind of job environment would work for you? Well, a teacher, psychologist, a mediator, politician, believe it or not, or a campaign manager, physical therapist, guidance counselor, speech therapist, human resources director, you're a people person. It makes a difference. And there's, you know, so many other jobs available. Now, what if you're a person that likes to draw geometric shapes, squares, triangles, rectangles? Well, apparently, you are very, very focused. Now, stop and think about it. When you're drawing squares, you're being very deliberate about this. If you are focusing on drawing circles and you want it this way, or triangles, geometric shapes, that is an indicator of a very disciplined person. Left brain thinker, and you are usually a very smart individual, very detail-oriented, and you're the type of person that makes a great assistant. You are the type of person that can handle all kinds of projects. You are the type of person that really has a focus capability that can work in wonderful environments, like being a hygienist, a pharmacist, a doctor, a lawyer, paralegal, physician's assistant, a bookkeeper, an organizer, a personal assistant. This is what you're really good at. Now, what if you draw hearts or animals? You are an idealist. Now, you are a person that leads with your heart. You really, really are. You really want to have something that makes you feel that whatever you're doing has a value. You're very dedicated. Many times, whatever kind of work you do follows you home. You have a tough time turning off what you're involved with. And if you are involved in humanitarian interests, whatever, one of the greatest disciplines you're going to have to learn is how to release carrying it with you wherever you go. veterinarian type, nonprofit organizer, animal trainer, or behaviorist. Again, teaching. You love working with children. A social worker. Anything. You might even be one of these people that would love to be a tour guide or be in a positioning where you're just empowering people on a big, big level. Now, if you like to draw flowers or plants, you're an artist. That's right. You're an artist. And the reason is that it is a very optimistic. And again, we're working with a subconscious level of the self. So depending on what you're inclined to do, it really means that you would make perhaps a great chef. You're romantic. You just really are very, very intuitive, right brain thinker, and you're often called, people will say, how did you come up with certain things? What is it with you? You are just this phenomenal, inventive personality. So like I said, you'd be a chef, photographer, an interior designer, a fashion stylist, a hairdresser, cosmetologist, writer, art teacher, blogger. See, these are little things that subconsciously give you clues into yourself. And the last one is, if you write your name or you doodle with your initials, or maybe you take and put, you know, if your name was Eileen and over the I, you make a little flower over the I instead of just a dot. I mean, this shows that you are a person that likes to be a leader. And if you like to put your name in margins, you're decisive and confident, you like exploring your own identity, and you're not afraid to put your stamp on anything that you do. You're a person that likes to step outside of the box. You are very much of an entrepreneurial nature, and there's just all of this wonderful dynamic inside of you. So these are our points of information. Of course, it's just a little bit in the point of information, but it allows you to see that who you are, you're very unique, you're very creative, and you just need to be okay with who you are and really take the time to find out how things can work for you. One of the things I like to tell my students when I work with them is don't put yourself in boxes. Don't put your thinking into black and white formats. We all have cultural stuff. We all have indoctrination we're given. I don't care who we are, what part of the world we come from, whether we're male or female. This is just a part of life. So as adults, as we are expanding ourselves, we start learning about our own individuality and our own uniqueness. And that is important because when you focus on that, when you say, wow, I really do like cooking a lot. I really like being in certain environments. But I hate knitting. And I don't want to sit at home watching 15 kids. Great. So go on, become a chef. Whatever it is. You might become the best baker in the world. Let me give an example. There was a woman that I found out about who was a wonderful, wonderful artist. And she couldn't make a living at it to save her soul. One day she worked for a friend of hers making a birthday cake that was very unique and very unusual, and she just put her artiste expertise into the cake decorating. She had a blast. Well, the mother, the friend, just went gaga when she saw it. When that cake came out, all of the other moms said, wow, I want something like this for my kid. Well, she ended up becoming a phenomenal cake designer. Her cakes sell for over $10,000 a cake. Can you wrap that around in your head? I mean, $10,000 a cake? You have got to be kidding. But her things are masterpieces, and she does. I mean, they really are masterpieces. What she can do with a fondant is just amazing. And she has flowers. She'll do chrysanthemums, roses. You'd swear they were breathing. You wouldn't want anybody to cut into that cake. I would not if I paid $10,000 for it. But people do every day. But she had no idea that her niche as an artist was going to be with food, and especially cakes. Fascinating stuff. So never, ever underestimate your skills, your talents, your capabilities. Hey, they're there. You're going to be able to have something very, very special in your life that's going to bring you joy and fulfillment. But you have to keep your eyes open. You have to stay alert to find out what it is that really, really rings your chimes. I mean, that is what it's all about. What is it that brings you joy whenever you do it? If it's feeding baby seals, terrific, go for it. Find that niche that will allow you to be involved with animals if that's what you want to do. But you have to investigate yourself and have fun with it. It's good to explore all of your talents. That's what makes us glow as people. Donna Sebo here. Telephone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like some intuitive insight. 888-627-6008. Shad Helmstetter said, "You are unlimited as the endless universe." Now think about those words. You are unlimited as the endless universe. And if you don't believe that, on a clear night, go and stand out underneath the stars. It'll humble you really fast. You'll realize that this universe is so massive that what we have within ourselves, heck, we've only scratched the surface. And this is something that a 24-year-old woman named Christy found out. Christy was a woman that didn't ever feel, because she was different, she didn't ever feel that she was going to be able to find someone who would accept her as she is. Her mother loved her a great deal. Christy was born with Down syndrome. And when she was born, the mother was told to put Christy into an institution. Her mother just wasn't going to even consider that. I just can't do that, she said. Well, they said, you know, your child is going to die at a young age, and they went on and on and on and on and on about all the negatives. Well, fortunately, Christy and her mother and father bonded very, very well, and mom and dad said, nope, this is our baby girl, and we are taking her home. Now, a lot of things didn't come easily for Christy. I've got a picture of her in front of me. And Christy became a member of the National Down Syndrome Congress. And as she grew up, she ended up going into college. Things change, don't they? Nutrition can have a lot to do with it. I've known people that, because of understanding nutrition, literally reversed Down syndrome in their child. It's amazing stuff. We're learning about it. Well, Christy, as she grew up, she had a loving family. They were very supportive of her, and they didn't look at her as handicapped. She was unique, and they supported her uniqueness, but they encouraged her to learn, to grow, and to do. So at 24, she had been invited to be a bridesmaid at a very special friend's wedding, and she told her mom, she said, "Mom, I want to get married one day, but I don't know that that's ever going to happen." Well, you know what? Her mom had a very, very deep level of faith, and she said, "I know that my daughter can have a companion in her life, but I need a sign. I need a sign." Now, I know we talk about superstition sometimes and how silly it is, but she was looking for a sign, and the mother, after uttering this prayer, found a red rose at her feet, and she said, "Okay, the red rose is a symbol of love, and my daughter's going to find love." Isn't it interesting how we can make a shift mentally? Belief is very, very important. Well, Christy was a very busy young lady. She was very active in the National Down Syndrome Congress. She would speak, and she was active in so many things. And there was a dance at this one event, and she ends up meeting a very nice-looking young man. And he doesn't have Down syndrome. And there was this instant rapport between the two of them. Well, they were from different parts of the country. Christy lived in California. The young man, his name was Austin, lived in Dallas, Texas. But there had been a very special connection that they had had, and that connection just kept on like the Energizer Bunny. They were on the phone talking all the time, and he just felt like something was missing. Well, they ended up visiting each other, and one day, Austin asked Christy to marry him. Well, the parents of both of these individuals were thoughtful and concerned. Christy had Down syndrome. How in the world could this work? I mean, there are challenges with these types of situations. Well, do you know, the parents got together and they said, we need to give these young people a chance at happiness. There's just something going on between them. Let's get out of their way. And that's what they did. Christy's mom and the parents of the young man Austin were thrilled to watch these two young people walk down the aisle. And Christy relocated to Dallas, Texas, where she's with her husband. And they have a very full and rich life. A girl who thought that she'd never find anyone that would be able to love her. Well, she did. And it's sort of like a Cinderella story, but in the positive sense. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. 888-627-6008. Special recipe when I come back. Don't go away.
Tickets now on sale for the 2012 Conscious Life Expo, February 10th through the 13th at the LAX Hilton. Bringing together an eclectic community of speakers, panelists, exhibitors, artists, and visionaries for a four-day gathering of collective consciousness featuring over 150 workshops, special events, including TV British psychic Lisa Williams and visionary scientist and author Greg Braden, as well as the film festival, live music, Programa Latino, and three exhibit halls packed with healthy products and services. For ticket information, www.consciouslifeexpo.com.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30, and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children, too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. I've got a special story about you, about a particular event that had a discovery about something that was entombed in a glacier. But before I do that, I wanted to share a recipe with you that I think is just great. In our house, in the Sebo house, we really enjoy pork. One of our favorites is pork ribs, and they just fall off the bone tender, this type of thing. But we really do like pork loin. And sometimes if you're not careful with pork loin, if it doesn't have very much fat on the outside, it can dry out. Well, this is a Tex-Mex citrus roast pork with guacamole. Does that make you salivate just a little bit? Well, this is so good. And the flavors are just wonderful. And in the winter months, I don't know about you, but I really like spice. I like to have seasonings, And maybe if I were one of those people that did a lot of barbecue, that would be a different thing. But here in the Pacific Northwest, you're not out barbecuing. And I don't know if you're like me, but you don't have, let's say, a counter grill set up. I don't have one of those. So I really like to be able to have that wonderful flavor with whatever I cook. So this is a recipe that is so easy. It's so easy. Here are the ingredients. You're going to need 1/4 cup of apple jelly. And you'd want to nuke that in the microwave so that it's melted. 1/4 cup of apple jelly. You need 3 teaspoons of grated lime zest and 2 teaspoons of grated lemon zest. And having it freshly grated is going to make all the difference in the world. You can use the dried if you are just in a pinch, but try to have the fresh. The oils of the freshly grated zest are just so wonderful, and the flavor is incredible. You're going to need about a 3-pound boneless pork loin roast. You're going to need 2 teaspoons of chili powder, 1 teaspoon of ground cumin, 3/4 teaspoon of salt, and 1/2 teaspoon of dried thyme, 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh cilantro, 2 avocados. You want to pit them. Of course, you have to peel them. You need 1/2 cup of grape tomatoes, and you want to chop those up. And then 1 tablespoon of freshly squeezed lime juice. Fresh is the best. It's just got that wonderful, wonderful taste to it. And, of course, you might want to slice up a little bit of the lemons and limes to use them as part of your decoration around the meat. Now, this is how simple it is. You want to preheat your oven to 375 degrees. Your apple jelly, which you've melted, you're going to mix your lime zest and lemon zest in it and just set it to the side. You put your pork in your roasting pan, and you rub the pork roast all over with the mixture of spices, your chili powder, your cumin, your salt, and your thyme. You just rub it right into the meat. It's really, really good to do. And then you want to roast your meat for an hour or until your meat thermometer inserted into the center registers about 145 degrees Fahrenheit. And you want to brush with the apple mixture with the lemon and lime zest during the last 10 minutes of cooking. And that is something, you let it stand for about 10 minutes after it's finished cooking, and then you sprinkle it with a tablespoon of the cilantro. Now, the reason you don't cut into it is so that the juices stay inside the meat. And this is just something you have to remember. You allow your meat to sit. Now, in a bowl, you take a fork, you mash your avocado, and the one avocado, and then you chop the remaining avocado. So you've got this texture of the avocado. Then you put that into the bowl. You stir in tomatoes, the lime juice, and the remaining cilantro, lime zest, and salt, and serve it with the pork. Oh, it's so good. And a baked potato goes well with this if you wanted to have a salad of some kind. It's great. Freshly baked bread with butter, herb butter. Oh, good stuff. But this has a nice seasoning to it. Now, I have to tell you something. I have found, for my taste buds, I double up on spices. That's what I like to do because I like more of an intense flavor. And something you can do with this pork roast, if you want, you can put it in a bag, and if you wanted to put seasonings on it, put the roast in the refrigerator the day before. You're going to fix it, and those seasonings are going to go more into the meat. It's a marinade of type. Just a tip here. Well, I guess I'm going to have to tell you the story about what was entombed in a glacier that was discovered up in Alaska. I'll have to give that information to you tomorrow. This is Donna Siebel. We're out of time. I'm sorry my guest wasn't able to make it, but we'll see about getting her on in some upcoming shows. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Siebel. I'm so delighted you were able to join me today. Have a magnificent day wherever you are. And remember, you're unique. There's no one else like you. And aren't you glad? Talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.